Good morning, good afternoon, or good night. I'm your host, Adrian Conway. Welcome to another episode of Ryzen Pod. On this podcast, if you're new to it, I do several things. I post short format interviews and or inspiring short clips that are defined as the daily rise. And those are the goal is to simply help you change who you are and what you're doing. To be honest, I just love to inspire and educate people. And that's a part of the brand, the personal brand that I've tried to build throughout the years is one that people can look to me and to want to do better for themselves and not just do better, but be better in a very authentic way. And why that's important to me is because my lifelong career has been coach. I've been known as Coach Conway to many, many athletes in many different sports. And over the last 13 years since I've been coaching CrossFit, it has been the responsibility of mine not to just enhance people's performance within the gym, their overall health and well-being, but to actually help them initiate change within themselves so that they can actually have a chance to change their habits and a chance to change who they are. But that is my quick update on the Daily Rise if you're new to this. And recently, I have allowed myself the freedom to sit down and do single person, longer format podcasts where I'm talking about relevant topics within the CrossFit space, within the fitness space, and within the health and wellness space in general. This particular episode, folks, is going to be a 2023-2024 Tier Waterpalooza qualifier breakdown. As most of you know, if you've been following along within our space in the recent months, the qualifier has now concluded and taken place. The results are not finalized, not official, but they're unofficially official. You know what I'm saying? That means the results have been put in. The athlete videos have hopefully been submitted of those that plan to submit them. And now they're under review, making sure that their scores match their capacity and match the work that they did. So we know that due to the several last few years of all kinds of qualifiers and the drama that surrounds them, many of the standings could change dramatically. We just saw that recently for the Rogue Invitational, the Q, where athletes took an opportunity to show their fitness, and some of them didn't weigh the plates appropriately. Some of them didn't measure the handstand box appropriately. Some of them didn't X, Y, or Z. Some of them shortchanged reps. You think about a reason, and there's a reason that someone's score was not validated the way that they submitted their score. With that considered, let's talk about 2023 and 2024 Tier Waterpalooza qualifier. Now, I want to be honest. I've had some athletes that took the shot at this in order to qualify. Let me go ahead and pull this up here so that I can actually share where I'm going to pull up these workouts as we talk through them. But I'm pulling up here the workout number one. Now, just to lay the foundation for people, this is an online qualifier that Waterpalooza releases so that they can set the stage. Commonly, the way they set the stage for their competition is that they have the free right to invite 20 people from the CrossFit Games. At least I think that's the number. They're going to then take the next 20 athletes that qualify to the elite division. And in the next 20 athletes or 40 athletes, again, forgive me for not knowing officially, 20 to 40 athletes to the RX division to compete. And then your spots are filled in like a cascading order after that. Intermediate after that. I don't know if there's a scale after the intermediate, but you get the idea. The spots are filled based on your performance. And this qualifier is the same qualifier for the master age athletes. And it allows them to fill, I believe, 10 slots for each age group that is represented at Waterpalooza. With all of that now out of the way, let's dive into test number one. Test number one is 10-8-6-4-2 front squats, lateral over the bar burpees, not bar facing, and toes to bar. Folks, this is a 15-minute AMRAP. You go through one barbell for 10-10-10, 8-8-8-6-6-6, 444-222 at 95-65, then you increase the weight and you do it with the next weight at 135-95. 10-10-10, 8-8-8-6-6-6, 444-222, then you increase the weight again to 155 and 105, and this is in block three. you do it again, you follow the same order. Then you do it again at 185, 125. And then if you were really, 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 really fit, you got to the fifth bar and you did 225 pounds and 145 pounds. Now, as I looked at this workout, I don't know if many of you other folks fell into this trap, but I was like, cool, bet people are going to get pretty deep into 185 and get to touch on 225. Well, folks, you had to be moving extremely fast in your transitions and extremely fast in your cycle rate for front squats in order to be getting into the fifth block of this test. This, when you look at it from a programming perspective, it's a triplet. It is an AMRAP. 15 minutes is what we'll consider a long AMRAP. Three very simple movements: low skill, high work capacity. Front squat is going to be a frontally loaded, load-bearing movement that is going to favor a shorter statured athlete with a longer torso. So short legs, a longer torso provides them more structure to breathe and to keep the bar closer to their center of mass without having to cantilever or bend over forward. The lateral over the bar burpees are going to make the cycle rate higher than bar facing burpees and allow it to be done a little bit more quickly. The toes to bar, as you breathe through these toes to bar, it's going to be hard to find space and freedom to actually recover. Initially, when I looked at this workout, I thought that would be the place. But unfortunately, because every one of these movements has some type of limitation in how you breathe, either because you're frontally loaded or because you're hinged over and making contact with the ground every time, or now because you have to brace through your midline to actually close the hip angle so dramatically to kick the bar on the toes to bar, that it's actually hard to continue to breathe efficiently. And honestly, the rep scheme was just never high enough on toes to bar for it to be a place where you could establish a rhythm and get your heart rate to lower. With all that being said, this test and workout ended up being much more punishing physically than I initially thought it would be. I thought it might come into some strength limitation as you enter fatigue, but the truth of the matter is that most athletes were suffering quite a bit earlier than I believe that they even initially assumed it would, at that 135 and 95 pound bar. And it was just straight work capacity. It was your breathing ability. It was your ability to stick to a game plan that you had established. And honestly, it needed to be an aggressive one for you to do well at it. So this test was simple. It's a triplet. It's a long triplet at 15 minutes plus. I like it. Again, low skill, all good. No qualms here with this particular test because it's the way that we started, right? You're laying the foundation. Okay, hey, we're getting after work capacity. There's no skills involved here, and it's not going to be a strength limitation. Let's get it, and that's all good with me. Let's advance on to test number two here. Workout number two, and this had to go down the same weekend, was in a 5-minute window, establish a 1 rep max unbroken complex consisting of 1 snatch. You could snatch it anyway. 2 hang snatches. Those had to come from above the knee. And the tie break for someone that hit an equivalent weight of you was max reps overhead squat. I love this, and I love this test. I like this workout as a strength workout predominantly because you can move a heavy load, but we want to see you do it for multiple repetitions. You know, CrossFitters tend to enjoy this. You know, I'm one that really likes to see this in regards to the way that it plays out. But I like, one, that it's 5 minutes. I like that, you know, you had to load your bar. That made it a little bit more difficult on the athletes. I think they couldn't just like prep and warm up, get their barbell set and leave it there, right? There's a bit of gamesmanship involved here. And there's a bit of like this real competition simulation that you get when you got to have the bar loaded or load the bar yourself. As time is rolling, there's that urgency, right? Or that pressure. I was a fan of that. And I like that the tiebreak score happened when you decided you needed to do the work. For example, if I had an athlete that knew they wanted to hit 245 pounds and they hit 245, but the 245 felt great for the 1 snatch and 2 hang snatches, do they dare do more overhead squats when they know they still have 2 more minutes to actually go heavier on the complex? But if they do a bunch of overhead squats, that could potentially fatigue them for the future complex and allow them to miss at 255 or 260 or whatever they were going to attempt next. So what I like is that this put athletes in a tough spot in regards to making choices. What I also don't mind is that this was easily redoable. Athletes could have done this 4 times in the course of a weekend and not really had many setbacks or residual fatigue that was going to deter them from a better performance tomorrow because it's a snatch and an overhead squat. Now, if this was a clean, of course, typically they're going to be much heavier than we executing snatches, and it's going to be more detrimental, more destructive to the body, more fatiguing to the central nervous system, harder to recover from, more fatigue to the legs. You get the idea. So I like that this has high repeatability and it is a high stakes test. It's only 5 minutes. You got to move heavyweight. If you want an opportunity to go to Elite or even RX, you had to put up a pretty sweet score here in order to seize the moment. And then not only that, but you had to make the executive decision on when were you going to get your overhead squats going, because there's no reason to only do a few. You had to go for broke that moment that you decided to hit the overhead squats. Overall, we're 2 workouts in and I'm a fan. I like these. I like the way they match up to one another. One, we might have thought strength was going to play more of a role and it did not. It was more straight grunt work capacity, low skill. And then we get into the squat snatch, which is a little bit higher skill. We're now thinking about the 10 general physical skills that encompass fitness, at least from a CrossFit definitive standpoint. And we get the accuracy, the agility, the coordination, the balance, all those things at high level. Then we add in speed and power. And then of course it's a no-brainer. We're also testing strength there and even a bit of muscle endurance, not so much general stamina, but we're hitting like 8 out of 10, maybe 9 out of 10 for sure on the general physical skills. So I like that. Let's advance on to workout number 3. All right. So this workout was also in week 1. This year, Wadapalooza, the qualifiers were only 2 weeks long. So this was the final. So they released all 3 of these and you had basically Thursday to Monday to do these tests. Trust me, it left plenty of opportunity for repeats. Workout 3 was 15-20-25 of calorie row, wall balls, 20 and 14 pounds, 10 feet, chest to bar pull-ups, box jump overs at 30 inches for men, 24 for women, alternating dumbbell snatches at 50 pounds for men and 35 for ladies. Now, here's the caveat to this. The alternating dumbbell snatches, it was like right and left were 1 rep. So essentially, you could double the repetitions. Instead of 15, 20, and 25, as an athlete, you had to do 30, 40, 50 for the reps, which I like. It added the volume there. It was a hidden element. They wanted to keep numbers structured so that there was a flow and they didn't want to list them separately. I'm cool with that. I don't mind it. It puts more raw work capacity as a tester. Now, here's the deal with this test is I like the reverse rep scheme to begin with, right? So commonly to have higher power output in our training, we would do the opposite of this, 25, 20, 15. But I love the testing element of making athletes do more work as they go. Not only that, there's 1 minute rest after each one of these rounds. So this forces a different tempo and pace on the rower than that would exist. And I say the rower specifically, but also overall pacing, but the rower specifically that would not exist if this was without the 1 minute rest after each round. And there was a time cap of 20 minutes. So again, we've got 4 movements here. The row is going to be a monostructural piece. The wall ball is technically and categorically going to be weightlifting because there's an external load. Chest to bar, of course, is gymnastics. Box jump over is going to be gymnastics, in my opinion. And then we've got alternating dumbbell snatch, which is going to be weightlifting again at high volume. Simple skill for both the wall ball and the snatch, simple skill for the box jump over, and then a moderate skill for the chest to bar pull-ups. The downside, though, that nullifies this chest to bar pull-up as a test is I think for the elite level, there needs to be more to create a separation. Now, I'm not saying that because like this is easy for everyone or that there had to be more specifically, because I guarantee you there were plenty of top athletes that chose to break up their chest to bars strategically. So this then leaves the room for people who have high levels of local muscle endurance and can really cycle chest to bars at a high level to go unbroken and, of course, separate themselves. But was the juice worth the squeeze? And here's where the conversation really begins, is when you write up a program or you write up a test, what you need to consider is not just the test at large. How is this going to feel for athletes? What's the overall volume for athletes? But I really like to consider, where can separation be created here? How much time are you spending on each given movement? Well, if you look at the calories on the rower, being that they're coming off a 1 minute rest after each round, the rowing almost cancels itself out. Now, I will give you the opinion that I believe women should have been rowing different calories than men here, especially when there's a 20 minute hard cap. I think that that should be just something that we look into universally in our space, on a bike, on a stationary erg, and on a rower, on a stationary erg, on a ski erg, on a stationary erg. Body weight and height play significant roles in your ability to go calories specifically. Also meters, but more specifically calories. I'm not sure why they're doing the same. Just adjust it. No one's going to care that it says 12, 16, and 20 for the female calories, and then everything else is the same. That's fine. And you know what? Who's not going to be mad about it? The women. I don't think so. That's probably a different discussion, but I wanted to point that out because that's one thing that I would change about this workout. So that the results tend to be a bit more universal in regards to what we can expect, especially when there's a time cap involved. It's the same. If it's a different time cap, we can have a different discussion. But I say keep the time cap the same and keep the calories different. Okay, so that's my rowing rant. The other thing is, when you look at this workout, think about the cycle rate of 15 chest bar pull-ups versus the cycle rate of 15 box jump overs, specifically at 30 inches and 24 inches. Then you consider that everyone at an elite level is certainly going to be doing 30, 40, 50 dumbbell snatches unbroken. Because the crux of this is that, again, they're only taking 20 people in the world. If you're not going unbroken on those snatches, you're probably not fast enough to qualify. And I'm not saying that's irrelevant. I'm not saying that you can't have high elite level fitness. But for this qualifier, you ain't going if you didn't go unbroken or close to it on these snatches. So you're actually not making up much time there. Right here in this workout, the box jump overs were significant. If you could touch and go box jump overs at 30 inches and 24 inches, even only on the first two rounds, and you were able to keep a steady clip of a pace of stepping down on the final round, I'm just using this as an example, you would have gained seconds on seconds on seconds on people that were stepping down instead. Now, there's going to be a lot of discussion on, like, is it safe to rebound? Should athletes have that pressure put on them? Yes, they should. They should have that pressure put on them. Just like if I'm stinking running down a track and I'm sprinting hard, I have a choice of how hard to sprint and how slow to sprint. There ain't no difference. We're bounding. Except we're sprinting, guess what? We're single leg bounding. Now, when you jump off a box, yes, it's a different risk and it's a different force and velocity, but you need to be able to redirect your body in space. Just like pistols, standing on a single leg, oh my goodness, there's so much risk and all this and that. Well, if you train appropriately and your body's prepared for the load and the volume and the intensity that at which you ask it to go, then it's another way for you to express power better than someone else. And it should be an option that you can always explore. So when people make us step down box jumps, I'm not really sure, because they don't tell me to run slower when we're running down a track. They don't tell me to run slower, or they don't tell me that I have to break up my ring muscle ups, even though the tension that I might put on my pecs or my pec insertion or my bicep or my rotator cuff is going to exponentially get higher and higher, the lower and lower that I catch my ring muscle up, but they still let me risk it for the biscuit on those. I digress. I like this test. I love the rest involved. I want to see the calories change for females and males, and I would like to consider, and this is just me, 2020, hindsight's always 2020. Folks, I've written up workouts and tests for programs, for events, live events, that I'm like, oh man, I wish I would have changed this. I wish I would have changed that. So no hard feelings to whoever designed these workouts, just food for thought. I would have liked to see the chest to bars be more, so that there was a little less pressure on the box jump overs. If I'm an athlete going through this in my prime of competitive years, I love this workout so much because I'm a box jumper and I'm rebounding those mothers. And I'm feeling really good about this workout with the row there, with the wall balls there, with the dumbbell snatch there, and with those few chest to bar pull-ups, sign me up. And with the rest that's coming back around on the chest to bar pull-ups, sign me up twice. Love it. So again, week one, I was like, hey, cool. I really like what I see. Now, looking forward, right, as we finished week one without knowing what week two was, the one thing in my mind I was thinking is we need to get a little bit more complex here. If you're only taking 20 in the world that qualify to go elite, and anyone and their mom can sign up for this thing at this stage in the off season, man, you really got to make sure you got a thorough looking test, right? So I kind of wanted to go a little bit heavier with the loading again. And now I'm not saying it needed to be a max, but I'm saying something heavier. And I wanted to see a higher complexity of skills. That's just me personally. Time domains could have shifted all over the place. We could have 2-minute workouts, 3-minute workouts. I don't care, because we hit a pretty good broad spectrum here, because while this is a 20-minute cap, there was rest involved. So I believe that that plays with the intensity and the energy system testing that's taking place. But we definitely needed to go shorter. And then, of course, we could look at another long or moderate style test. But again, two things I wanted: heavier weight and more complexity as we advance. Perhaps even a test. This is just me hoping for something like this, where you earn more work as you go, or you earn more complex skills as you go. So let's look forward now to what they released for week 2. Workout number 4. Break it up however you want. 45 deadlifts at 225 pounds for the men and 155 pounds for the women, and 45 handstand pushups. 7-minute time cap, a la carte. A la carte meaning, of course, you get to choose. Your choice, do your thing, whatever you like. I don't like it. Now, here's the reason I don't like it. Because if you look at this test, if you look at this test, it's not really a test of fitness, in my opinion, at this point. Diane is 21:15:9, deadlifts and handstand pushups, 225-155. So this is a benchmark. I love that. I love that for them. Hey, this is a benchmark workout. Cool. It's kind of like a benchmark, except you now get to do it on your own. Awesome. When I look at this test, I think about the bias that naturally exists here with short athletes. You know who doesn't have a problem with a biased test like this? Me. I don't really care. As long as there are other tests that equally balance this bias, that there are enough scores for the 6'2 and the 220-pound athlete that wants to go elite in this division and has elite fitness to express it with an equal advantage on their side. As long as that's the case, that'd be great. I didn't see that. So that's my biggest problem with the placing and the value of this test. This test right here is 20% of the scoring to go to qualify. 20%. 45 deadlifts, 45 handstand pushups. Not only that, this is an online qualifier. So when we talk about the legitimacy of repetitions, the fairness of the handstand pushup box, and again, fair is that. I don't really look, whatever the standard is, set the standard and let's roll. That's fine. I'm not a complainer. I've always struggled with handstand pushups myself. I'm only 5'11, but my arms are long and my femurs are long. So I've always understood where my limitations would be. But what I struggle with is where the taller athlete and the heavier athlete are just caught in a disadvantage here. And it's a very significant amount of the points that are going to be available. And we add in the discrepancy potential of the reps that will be validated. So what I look at here is, where's the mouse in the house? Any camp that you go through, it could be True Fitness with my athletes. It could be TTT. It could be Mayhem. It could be HWPO. Hey, let's go find the mouse in the house. Let's go find the shortest athlete here with moderate fitness, and guess who's winning it? They're winning it. Because they're probably doing 30 to 35 strict handstand pushups, kipping the rest, and then going 45 unbroken deadlifts. It's 225. If you're going elite, you're probably just doing 45 unbroken deadlifts. Not a big deal. Like, it's hard, but also you've got the ability to flip the switch mentally and just be like, cool, I hate myself enough and I love to win enough that this won't matter. No matter what I feel, I'm holding on, grip it and rip it. Let's go to work. All those things considered, Diane is a great workout. This is not a great test with its location, with the other three that we already tested last time. The hinge, it had its place. The handstand pushup, it had its place. I don't like the rep scheme and I don't like the loading. Now, my suggestion, my caveat, my change that I would make, And this is going to sound silly to some of you. Make it 60 and 60. Add volume. Allow athletes who are going to be longer in length the opportunity to express an advantage of perhaps muscular endurance or local muscle conditioning to close the gap on the shorter limbed athletes. Set the work. Even if you make it strict handstand pushups, right? And set the work. Don't do this however you want to break it up stuff. And I don't like it, but do it however you want is like, now we're changed. We're not testing. We're testing someone's ability to gamify a workout. And some people are going to argue like, isn't that an element of fitness? Isn't that a part of competition? Sure it is. Just set the workout. Just set the workout and let's let the athletes tell the story and do the thing. So those are my two things. Up the load, up the volume. Also, set the work. And then I think I'm okay with it. Even the athletes who suck at handstand pushups and whatever, that's fine. It's going to be a weakness for people from to the end of time. That's going to be things that separate athletes, and that's okay. And shorter athletes should still dominate the test as long as they got the fitness to show it. But right now, the way this is written up, it has its place 5 years ago. 5 years ago in 2018, it's still fine. Other than that, I don't like it. Elite division, go set it up and do the test just like they did at the CrossFit Games in 2020 on the online version. Do something similar to that. I know we're testing for the fittest on earth, but that's who you want to show up at Wadapalooza anyways, right? It's an elite division. Most people that compete in the elite division are points away or going to the CrossFit Games in 2024. That's just the normal trajectory or projection that we can make based off people who qualify. They're like in the talk of the top 15 in every semifinal across the world. So I'll get off that one. We advance now to workout five. Okay, what holes did I want to see filled? Well, high skill. We still didn't see that because you can keep these handstand pushups. To me, that's not a high skill. We're talking elite division. We're talking RX division. Again, semifinal level athletes. These guys walk on their hands. They turn around. They do strict handstand pushups. They do the thing. They've been doing those things for a long, 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 long time. We did Diane at regionals in 2013. And Dan Bailey did it in like 130 something. 21:15 9 style. He probably did them all strict. Workout five. 12-minute AMRAP. 100 double unders. 25-foot double dumbbell side lunges. 15 dumbbell shoulder overhead. 25 double dumbbell front rack walking lunges. 50 pounds in each hand for the men. 35 pounds in each hand for the women. Overall, I'm going to just say this. This is a great open style test where it gives birth. Look, and I mean throughout all five of these workouts. If this was the open, I'd say, wow, this is great. I don't mind any of this. I don't mind any of this. This is fine. Once again, I'm bringing this conversation to a head when I say, This is to dictate 20 people to elite and 20 people to RX in the world that show up in Miami to get watched by thousands of people. And this is it. This is the test. After these are the five workouts that you got. I need where are my rings? Where are the bar muscle ups? Where's the ropes? Where are the skills that pay the bills? Capacity, yeah, for sure. I like it. But again, even then, we're lacking on some things here. 12-minute AMRAP. I like this test. I really like this workout. I like that it is very stamina-driven, specifically in the feet and lower legs. Athletes that are going to go elite or RX, this dumbbell weight is not anything for them, but their strength plays a role here in how they execute. So what I mean by that is that a lot of people came out in this 12-minute AMRAP and they went 100 double unders. Of course they did. You could, so why not, right? Which we can have in-depth conversations of just because you can does not mean you should. But a lot of them went 100 double unders unbroken. Good for you. 25-foot, then double dumbbell side lunges. Of course, not only did you go, but you went fast. When you got to the end, did you set the dumbbells down or did you turn around with them in your hands to keep them in the front rack position or get them in the front rack position as quickly as possible to do the push press? Most of the athletes I worked with, I told them to put them down. I'll put them down quickly with intention. Turn around quickly with intention, pick them up quickly with intention, and go 15 push press and then right into the front rack and walking lunges. Create and establish a rhythm that can be sustained for 12 minutes. And not only that, but one that allows you to get back to the jump rope and not falter because of fatigue or grip fatigue that is undue or unnecessary because you chose to turn around with dumbbells in your hand. If you started that way, of course, you gained an advantage early. But if you didn't have the capacity to continue to go 100 double unders unbroken throughout the workout, it actually would have never created an advantage for you, especially if you were faltering there. So remember, in real time and in real competition, when you break, it doesn't really matter where. If you break on purpose or by mistake, you would much rather break on purpose. Typically, you always break less time, right? You kill less time there. So on round two, you probably should have broken up your dumbbell unders on purpose. Not everyone needed to do that. There are elite level athletes with elite level fitness that are just like, Adrian, that's a stupid idea. I would never do such a thing. Good for you. And I hope it played out well for you, my friend. But most people wouldn't have. So you'd go, because a lot of people are going, they're doing 700 double unders in this workout. So I say, again, you put the dumbbells down after the side lunges, turn around quickly, pick them up, be fresh, deep exhale, rock the 15, get the front rack lunges, put your dumbbells down, get to your rope, clear your breath, deep exhale, go to work, get 50, take a breather, two deep breaths, get 50 more. Pick up the dumbbells and keep the same rhythm, keep the same energy and keep vibing. Again, what you want to do is not do anything that throws your focus, or you want to throw your focus as little as possible. But overall, I like the lower body fatigue that is built here. I think that if athletes wanted to do both the 45-45 workout and workout five here, this AMRAP in the, you know, several times, I bet they ended up with sore posteriors, right? Like their glutes were probably lit up a little bit, maybe even the hamstrings, specifically due to the speed of the deadlifts, not the load, but the speed. If you were competing in this, and again, your eyes were on Elite RX, you were certainly cycling that barbell very fast. And these lunges aren't, again, something that you were just moving through. You had to move through them intentionally with some speed to get in and out of each rep. Lastly, I know I touched on this, but I like how when we use dumbbells, there's a reflection of overall body strength that is shown eventually, even as fatigue builds. 35 pounds not heavy for women. 50 pounds not heavy for these men. But the stronger that they are, mass moves mass, and typically the heavier, if they're in good shape, they can continue to move the dumbbells with more crisp movement and fluidity. And also they can keep a faster pace than the weaker athletes, right? The instability at the top of a lockout when they go shoulder overhead, or the wobble in their legs as they go down when those dumbbells are now moved to the front rack position instead of hanging at their sides. All of this is evident when it comes to like hip stability, shoulder stability, and a lot of that's a reflection of overall strength and even some power. So again, that's a wrap on the Wadapalooza qualifiers for 2023-2024. My feedback is it's a solid five workouts and it's incomplete. I needed to see more skills. I wanted to see a higher expression of high-level fitness. And the only reason is because of how few athletes get a chance to advance. In this day and age, if we're going to call it an elite level competition, let's make it elite. If it's going to be the first stage in a competition, like the CrossFit Open, let's keep it simple. Let's make these athletes show us the baseline of their metabolic conditioning and work capacity. And then let's let the season tell the story throughout as each level gets progressively more higher skilled and more high leveled when it comes to loading. But I'll have some athletes, hopefully, as long as things continue to play out in the way that we expect them to. I'll have about four athletes making a trip to Miami, and I'll be there myself coaching it up, which I'm very excited. I think they run one of the best competitions that exists, and I've been a big fan, both as a competitor there for many years, and now an opportunity the last 2 years getting to coach people and see them through their own fitness journey and using Wadapalooza as a learning lesson and opportunity to showcase the fitness that they pursue. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this this really brief run through. I tried to keep it brief. It went a little bit longer than I had expected. Hopefully you enjoyed. If you're watching this on YouTube, my Wadapalooza vibes with the pink and orange and the purple. If you are a fan of this and you are catching it on my podcast, don't forget that you can tune in to my YouTube channel, Adrian Conway, and catch a lot of these episodes that are the longer format episodes there. And of course, I'm trying to do a better job at showing some highlights and some clips to entice the audience to click in to some of these episodes on my social media channel as well. Folks, if you haven't been following along or haven't heard, we just dropped a 9-week Olympic weightlifting plateau buster program at True Fitness. TTRUfitness.com is where you can find out more about this program. You can also follow us at True Fitness on Instagram, TTRUfitness, and tap in, send us a DM, ask us questions about the program. But I know a lot of you right now are focused on building power and building strength, specifically for your snatch and clean and jerk. And that could be the limitation for you in the 2024 season to come. And even if you're not a CrossFit competitor, this is a great program for you. I'm currently diving into week one right now, going through some of the baseline lifts and setting some 5 rep maxes and 10 rep maxes for several different lifts right now that I'll try to build upon myself over the next 8 to 9 weeks. We'll see how directly I can follow the program. I don't know exactly if I'll follow it to a T, but I will definitely get in some of these fall gains so that I can perform better throughout the winter. And then of course, into the 2024 season, because I'm at least going to throw my hat in the ring for the open. But nonetheless, folks, have a great rest of your day, and do me a favor, keep rising.